Turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. All right, we're going to start with this. Ladies, it's the time to let the male side's rules be known. I'm listing only handful, not all of them, handful of our rules. They're all numbered one on purpose. Number one, shopping is not a sport. And no, we are never going to think of it that way. Number one, tell us what you want, let it be clearly known to you, and the subtle hints do not work, strong hints do not work, and obvious hints does not work. And just say it, okay, ladies? And number one, anything we said six months ago is inadmissible in any argument. In fact, all comments become null and void after 7 days. We're going to amend this to the 3 days. Number one, whenever possible, please say what you have to say during the TV commercials. Number one, Christopher Columbus did not need no stinking directions, so neither do we. Number one, if we ask what is wrong and you say nothing, we're going to pretend that it's nothing. Because we know you're lying, but it's not worth hassling over. Number one, we have to go somewhere. Absolutely, whatever you're wearing is good. Really. Number one, you have enough clothes. Too many shoes, too many purses. Never. See what I mean? Number one, we are in shape. Round is shape. Amen? Number one, thank you for listening to this. Yes, we know we have to sleep on the couch, but did you know that it's not so bad for the guys? It's like a camping. And all the guys says, amen, and all the ladies say, boo. In seriousness, the verses we are going to study today, it's much more demanding. There are more responsibilities and there are more accountability to the Lord for husbands than what the ladies were told and commanded in verse 22 to 24. You were told to submit to your husband, but for guys, they have to love you ladies, as Christ loved the church. Actually, Paul went beyond presenting Jesus Christ as our example. He is putting Christ's role to the bride, the church, and he is putting husband's role to wives in the connection to that. We need to understand that the intention of the Lord for marriage. Marriage is not a merely convenience to overcome the loneliness or the arrangement to populate the race. First and foremost, marriage is a mirror of the divine and human relationship. Are you with me on that? You have to understand this, otherwise you are missing the whole point. Every marriage meant to represent God, His perfect relationship with Himself, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And He Himself, Jesus Christ, and His church, His bride, us, Christian believers. In other words, we can reveal God by the way we love our spouses. Think of this, ladies and gentlemen. Marriage, despite all the faults of two very human partners, is the human object lesson of the divine relationship between Christ and believers. It's the human object lesson. Understand? We're starting at verse 25. Let's pray. Father, we come to your throne. Jesus Christ, who is our bridegroom of the body of Jesus Christ, you teach us to these husbands. They are living in the very turmoil while there is a peril. Lord, there are so many attacks around against the husbands and against the fathers of the family. Let them learn from you that according to your way, so that these people, this man became the man of God and the priest of the family and godly husband and godly father. That wives would be blessed and the children would be blessed through their roles. Let them dwell in your word. Let them have a hunger for your word. Let them seek you all in the morning. Let them seek you throughout the day. Father, we pray for the President Obama. He's not paying attention to your call. Whatever it takes for him to wake up and turn to you and accept your Son Jesus Christ into his heart. Whatever it takes. And we pray for our troops and the law enforcement personnel and firefighters, especially the ones who are in harm's way and away from their homes and friends and their families and friends. You keep them safe. And we pray for those law enforcement personnel and firefighters who attend our service. You be their backup. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Did you notice that the Lord did not tell wives to love their husbands? Did you notice that in verse 22? He said, submit to your husband. Why did he not say that? Because women are already wired to love their husband. They know how to love their husband. They are just made that way. But the husband had to learn to love their wives. The word love here in the Greek word is agapao, which is the highest level of love there is. It's unconditional love. It's unselfish love. It's a self-sacrificing love for others. It is love that mentioned in the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, known as the love chapter. Go to the 1 Corinthians. Keep your finger in Ephesians. Go turn to left. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, please. Chapter 13, verse 4. Love suffers long. Or some of your versions say that love is a patient. And is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not propped up. It does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Loving like Christ also means forgiving. A Christ-like husband will embrace grace rather than hold grudges, extend the compassion rather than belittle their wife, his wife, with a shame, and accept and value his wife for who she is rather than demand unrealistic standard of perfection. Guys, your wife is not perfect. She cannot be perfect because she chose you to marry. Christ our Lord wants all the husbands to love their wives with this love, this kind of love, to seek the highest good of the others, even at the price of one's own good, as Jesus did for us. I can hear some husbands say, well, that's not possible. I'm a mere human. I cannot do what God, Jesus did. I'm going to let you in a secret here, okay? Husband, you ready? You submit yourself to God first. Be obedient to Him and His Word. And you love Him each and every day. And your love for Christ will overflow. And that love will go to your wife. And she will never be loved more than before. You see, God didn't make Eve out of Adam's head so that she could rule over him. And God did not make Eve out of Adam's feet so that he could trample over her. But God made Eve out of his rib, close to her heart so he can love her, and close to her, his side, so he can be equal and companion, and under his arm so she can be protected by him. Listen, your wife is not your maid. She's your soulmate. She's your helpmate for your life. If you're thinking about that horrible word, divorce or separation, get a grip, guys. You are not getting out unless you have a biblical reason. Go down to verse 26, please. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. A husband's love will also be sanctifying love. The word sanctify, some of you guys know this, is a sanctification, set apart. From the moment of the wedding ceremony, husband is set apart for his wife. And his wife is set apart for her husband, exclusively, no longer available to anyone else. Any interference with this God-given arrangement is sin. Today, Christ is cleansing his church through the ministry of his word. This love of the husband for his wife ought to be cleansing her so that both are becoming more like Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, it's not unusual for a Christian wife to be more spiritual than husband. I see this often. Christian husband, hopefully, they come to church not because they have this yearning for the Word of God or hunger for being with God or hearing from Him. They come to church because they just to appease their wives or to appease their religious duty. Gentlemen, your job as a husband, you are the priest of your family. Take that job seriously. You're the one who's supposed to bless your wives. You're the one who's supposed to bless your children with the word of God. And the love of husband for his wife ought to be cleansing with the word. As what I said is, you've got to get into the word. Otherwise, you will not be able to bless them. Husband, you cannot sanctify and cleanse your wife unless you yourself first sanctify and cleanse yourself with the Word of God daily. Verse 28, please. So husband ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wives loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes, just as the Lord does the church. I believe one of the primary reasons why the marriage in the United States going down the drain in an alarming rate is because the role of a husband, fulfilling scriptural role, is not there. If we concentrate on the loving our wives as Christ loved the church, God will transform our marriages. As a result, God will transform families, and then our churches, and even this nation. Broken down, the family is the reason why that our country is in such a horrible state that it is in. Someone said, family can survive without the nation, but the nation cannot survive without family. We have a children today who has no conscience and no value because they don't have a father figure. They don't have one who they can model after. Did you notice the TV commercial shows less of fathers? More and more absent fathers? Yes, they are portraying what's in the society, but they're trying to remove God, a father figure, from family unit. The transformation of family and then our country depends on you, husband. Yes, I know that you cannot solve all of the problems that America has, but you can solve your problem in your family by being the priest of the family. Even the physical relationship of a husband and wife should be controlled by God, that it becomes a means of a spiritual enrichment as well as a personal enjoyment. The husband is not to use his wife for his own pleasure, rather is to show the kind of love that is mutually rewarding and sanctifying. I'm sure you remember the Bible says that let your marriage bed be undefiled, not just physically, even mentally and emotionally. That's why pornography is such a deadly thing between the husband and wife. It defiles the marriage. The marriage experience is one of the constant growth that cry when Christ is the Lord of the home. Love always fulfills and enriches, while selfishness does the opposite. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, don't get a cue from the movies that is produced by Hollywood. Their idea of love is not the love that God talks about. It's nothing more than a lust. It's nothing more than perversion. You understand me? Go down to verse 30, please. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and two shall become one flesh. Now, this is what I call a leave and cleave to one another. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. You know, Adam and Eve had made in the Garden of Eden. Eve did not have to hear about Adam bragging about his mother's cooking. Nor did he have to hear about her ex-boyfriend. Adam had to give his part, just a portion of himself, to receive bride. But Christ had to give himself up to receive bride on the cross. God opened Adam's side to make a bride. But human, sinful man pierced the Savior's side. So the united are the husband and wife. They are the one flesh. The union is even closer that of the parents and children. The believer's union with Christ is even closer and more than the human marriage. The relationship between Christ and the human. Believer's union will last for eternity. There's a book in our bookstore. I know there's no bookstore table, but we have a book that Terry brought. This book, Love Life for Every Married Couple. This is a must. You've got to read it. You may say, we have a great marriage. Your marriage can be better. This book by Dr. Edward. I should get a commission from him because I've been recommending this book to everybody. Read this book, husband and wife, together, and practice what you read here. How do I know? Because this saved our marriage. I was a total idiot. I've never been unfaithful to my wife. And God willing, I will never be. But I was a total idiot. I was not there for her emotionally. God used this book to whack me on the side of my head and to wake me up and taught me how to love my woman. Everything is biblical. Everything is said perfectly according to the Bible. Great book to follow. It's $5 from the bookstore. There are only 5 of them. We'll get more if you need more. Grab this book, please. Verse, Apostle Paul wrote this, and Apostle Peter echoes in his first epistle. 1 Peter chapter 3, please. Go to the 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, please. If you mark on your Bible, I want you to mark the numbers as I call. Verse 7, husband, likewise, number 1, dwell with them. Number 2, with understanding. Number 3, giving honor to the wife. Number 4, as to the weaker vessel. Number 5, as being heirs together of the grace of life. That number 6, your prayers may not be hindered. Notice there are 5 commands and 1 warning. 1 warning. Starting with a dwell with them. A godly husband abides with his wife. He doesn't merely share the same house, but he shares lives together with her. Number 2, with understanding. A godly husband has undertaken the formidable task of understanding his wife. By knowing her well, he is able to demonstrate his love for her far more effectively. And some of you are thinking, you mean understanding woman? Is that possible? Yeah, that's possible. You start to love her, see what happens. You get to understand her better. Completely understanding? No, that's not possible. Number 3, giving honor to your wife. A godly husband knows how to make his wife feel honored. Though she submit to him and he take care that she does not feel like she's an employee or slave to the taskmaster. Fourth command God gives to us through Apostle Peter is as to the weaker vessel. Okay, unless your wife is a biker chick or bench press 200 pounds or more, she is generally weaker than you physically. Agreed? Agreed? Okay, stay awake with me, okay? Next person who follows me, I'm going to call you, make you to stand on the chair. The word weaker means fragile. Fragile. Then, let me put it this way. You don't juggle with this fragile and precious Ming Dynasty China worth $1 million, like a basketball. You treat well, you put it in a special place, you adore it, and you take care of it. That's your wife is. A godly husband recognizes whatever limitation his wife has physically and does not expect more from her than what is appropriate and cherish her. Fifth command, as being heirs together of the grace of life. Godly husband realized that his spouse is not only his wife, but also sister in Christ. And part of their inheritance in the Lord is only realized in their common bond. Heirs together reminds husband that even though they have been, husband has been given a greater authority within the marriage, their wives are still equal to them spiritual privilege and eternal importance. They are joint heir with Jesus Christ. Here's a warning. All right, great 5 commands, but here's a warning. Gentlemen, listen up. Your prayers may not be hindered. Failure to be a godly husband has spiritual consequences. It can and will hinder your prayer. The word hinder in Greek is ekato, which means to cut out or to cut off. Let me put it in a simple term. If you are not a godly husband, what is the Word of God says, your prayer will be cut off from the Word, from God Himself. In other words, your prayer chain between you and God is blocked by your own disobedience. Understand me? Go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 30, please. And if you're wondering if this ekarto is a Greek word, it's a maybe different word. It's the same word here. Matthew 5, verse 30. Matthew 5, 30. If your right hand causes you to sin, there is a word, cut it off, ekarto, and cast it from you, and for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body to be cast into hell. Is that clear enough for you guys? All right, five applications for you, you gentlemen. Number one, be the priest of your family. Be the priest of your family. I've seen some guys, as I said before, they come to church and they do things. And they come up with all these excuses. Why they should not, they cannot be the priest of the family. They said, well, I don't have a time to read the Bible. Really, is that the best excuse you come up with? If I sit with you 24 hours, I can find a time for you to sit down and read the Bible and pray to the Lord. You have a priority that is not important, like reading newspaper and watching TV and all that thing in front of God and coming up with an excuse that I don't have a time for prayer, I don't have a time to read God's Word. That is a lame, lame excuse. Gentlemen, be the priest of the family. Whether you like it or not, if you're a husband, if you're a father of your family, your role has been designated to be the priest of the family by God's order. So fulfill that God's order. Be obedient to Him. Get into the Word of God daily and ask the Lord to show you and teach you and help you to live by it. And some of the wisecracker husband will say, oh, I'm the priest of the family. Okay, can I have a priest robe now and walk around and doing this? No, that's not what I meant. Second application, love your wife first and make all the other earthly relationships, your children and your work, your favorite sport, your hobby, your buddies, and even your newspaper. Some guys will not look at their wives unless there is a bit newspaper in between them. Third application. Your love for your wife should not be conditional. It should be unconditional without any expectation. Did you get that? Gentlemen, did you get that? Unconditional without expectation. Don't think that I did this for you, wife, so you gotta do something for me. What's in for me? That's not conditional love, unconditional love. That's a negotiation. You heard the word in the marriage, it's a 50-50? Do you know where that thing comes from? Straight from hell. That's why the marriage is going down the drain. You give me some, I give you some. No, you give everything first, 100%, expecting nothing. And you may say, well, that's that bad business plan. No, it is not. It's a perfect business plan. I'll tell you more next week. Fourth application, don't try to be a fixer for everything. Don't try to be a fixer for everything. Guys, by nature, are we not a fixer? We are. And when your wife calls you, honey, I need to talk to you, and then she starts to talk, and you say, okay, I'll get it done. Get out of my way. That's not what she asked you to do. She asked you to listen to me. So listen. Open your heart, open your ears, and listen to her. This brings to the next application. Last one. Be a good listener with your full attention. Be a good listener with your full attention. All right, guys, let's put it this way. You like football? All right, your favorite team, playoff. Okay? Your favorite team is 4 points behind, and there's 5 seconds left, and the third down, 6 yards to go. That's a tense enough for you? And your wife come to the living room. Honey, I need to talk to you. Do this. And that's when you turn off TV and turn around, give a full attention. Can you do that? Are you willing to do that? No, we have a problem. Listen, the most important between you and your wife is giving your full attention to her. And some of you are thinking, godly wife will not do that kind of thing. I'm making a hypothetical situation. Are you willing to give up everything and anything for your wife? If not, your priority is totally upside down. God comes first, followed by your wife and your children. Yourself is way on the bottom. You do this, your prayers will not be hindered. You with me? Husband, you with me on this? All right, let's stand up and pray. Close your eyes, bow your head, please. I'm speaking to the husband. If you neglect your wives up to this point, it's not late. You can start brand new. She will forgive you. God will forgive you. Don't listen to the devil that he is telling, who's telling you you don't have a time. You need to have, you have a something more important thing to do. No. Do what is right in the sight of God. Ask God to help you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and thank you for your guidance. Asking your blessing and your guidance upon the husbands especially. And for the ladies, remind them to submit themselves to their husbands as unto the Lord. And for those who are not married and will marry, let this study be foundation for their future. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.